Chapter 41. The next morning, we launched an all-out assault. Minotaur had been squatting in space over Death World for about a week now. In all that time, it hadn't shifted orbit or responded to transmissions, other than in the most rudimentary, automated fashion. Fortunately, the dreadnought was far enough out in space to stay stable. The orbit hadn't decayed, so it wasn't in danger of falling and crashing yet. The techs had already calculated we had around 2 years before that happened, but we weren't interested in waiting around any longer than we had to. We loaded up 400 troops, carrying the best of the gear we had left. We left Winslade and about 200 troops behind, camped on the endless green expanse of grass that had begun to grow over the scorched land. Turov had assigned him a single combat unit, which was made up of poorly equipped recruits. They had a few bunkers and drones and, of course, the revival unit. Winslade was all smiles and waving as we took off and left him. You'd have thought we were loved ones going on a cruise. Anne, Natasha, and most of the other non-combatants were left planetside with Winslade. There would be time enough to ferry them to Minotaur later, assuming that we were able to recapture her. All attention turned toward our goal once the cloud cover enveloped the world below us. I was up in the command center with Turov, Tribune Drusus, and Captain Graves. That was quite an honor for me. I didn't know why they'd taken me up there, unless it was because there was plenty of room. The briefing chambers were meant to hold all the officers in a full cohort. Turov, as usual, spoke first.
I want to tell you all that I have the utmost confidence in the highly experienced troops Legion Varus has left, she said, looking from one centurion to the next. I'm only sorry that we could not bring more troops. It would take months to revive the whole Legion, and this lifter is only capable of transporting a single cohort.
A centurion named Martinez spoke up. She was a stocky woman with her hair pulled back so tightly her eyebrows were halfway up her forehead.
We could have waited one more week at least, she said. Then we'd have 1,000 troops rather than 400.
Turov looked at her flatly.
Yes, but we don't have guns for that many men. In that same period of time, we don't know how much stronger the enemy aboard the ship might grow. They might even gain control of the ship and maroon us here.
Tribune Drusus cleared his throat. Turov glanced at him and nodded.
Now, she said, I'm going to turn planning over to our master tactician, Tribune Drusus.
She stepped away from the central console, and Drusus stepped forward. The officers relaxed, visibly. Drusus was far more experienced in this area. I considered it a wise move on her part to relinquish control.
Thank you, Imperator, Drusus said. I've been studying this problem since we first learned Minotaur had been overrun. Here's the ship in detail. He brought up a three-dimensional display of the vessel and spun it around with his fingertips so that we were looking at the stern region. As best we can tell, the enemy pierced the thick hull surrounding the engine core. This took time, but when they finally made it through, they were able to do enough damage to poison the atmosphere of the ship. As we watched, a simulation of poisonous gas flooded the ship. The decks were each displayed in their appropriate color, gold for the combat level, green for the central exercise zone, and blue for the bio level. These decks were sealed at first, but with the help of the invading aliens, the gas spread from zone to zone until the entire ship was affected. This scenario is supposition, of course, Drusus said, but we know from models that it could have happened this way, especially given the alien capacity to excrete acids that burn through metal quickly. Taken by surprise, most of our troops would have succumbed to the radiation and poisoned air. The rest were probably killed by the invaders themselves. We watched in grim silence as, deck by deck, the ship was invaded and all resistance extinguished. I felt a fresh surge of hatred for the Wurr,
and I had to wonder how many desperate troops had fought to the death on Minotaur. Cut off and dying, I was sure our troops had done their damnedest. But it hadn't been enough. "That's all history," Drusus said, watching our grim faces. "Here's the plan to retake the ship. We'll start here, at Green Deck. The upper dome is shielded with a heavy blast dome, but we can disable that from the outer hull and get the clamshell dome to open. After that, all we have to do is puncture the inner transparent bubble and enter the ship." There were surprised looks all around. Martinez spoke up again.
"But won't that release the atmosphere, sir? Explosive decompression will result if there are any survivors."
"If there are, we doubt we'll find them on Green Deck. Think about it. These are plants. Where do you think the Wurr are most likely to have taken up residence? Moreover, the atmosphere inside the ship has been compromised already. We'll have to release it all anyway to begin the cleanup process." Martinez nodded. She retreated a step and said nothing more. I understood how she felt. The situation was terrible. All this time, down here on the planet's surface, we'd been too busy to think about how the rest of our legion had fared. But now we were going to be confronted with the gruesome realities. There had to be thousands of dead. They'd been left rotting for a week inside our ship. Even if we could retake Minotaur, we were going to have a hell of a time making the ship livable again. There wasn't much argument after that. People got their assignments and they left one by one to brief their teams. Each unit got a specific mission, either to capture a critical zone of the ship or to search and destroy enemy combatants.
"McGill," Drusus said at last.
"Here, sir," I said. I'd been hanging back in a shadowy region near a curving bulkhead. There were only a few people left in the chambers, so I walked up to the central console.
"There you are. It's not like you to hide."
"No, sir. What can I do for you?" Drusus eyed me strangely.
"I've got a special mission for you. I want you to get to Gold Deck and secure this area."
He leaned over the table and zoomed in on the map of the ship. A region blinked red. It was part of Gold Deck, way out along the starboard side. "Storage Locker 6, sir," I said, reading the label that popped up between us.
"That's it. There should be something useful there, or right near that location. A combat vehicle."
It was about then I noticed Turov. She was staring at me from her seat in a chair behind Drusus. She looked like a cat eyeing a bird on the wrong side of a plate glass window. That look on this particular woman's face made me nervous.
A combat vehicle, sir? You mean a dragon?"
"That's right."
"I thought we left all the dragons."
"McGill, are you refusing this mission?" he asked.
"No, sir, not at all. I can see how a dragon might be useful. I accept the mission, sir."
"I'll inform Graves."
That was it. I walked out, headed to my squad in the hold, and sat down with them. Sargon was the first one to notice that I had an odd look on my face.
"What's up, boss?"
he asked, frowning.
"Nothing," I said. "But we've got a special op coming."
I explained it to him and the rest of the squad. They were left scratching their heads with me.
"Let me get this straight," Carlos said. "Your girlfriend sent you to Gold Deck to get her shoes, is that it?"
"Shut up, specialist," I said. Kiwi perked up at the mention of the word girlfriend. She looked from me to Carlos and back again.
"Girlfriend? On Gold Deck? McGill, don't tell me you've been fooling around with Turov again. I thought you'd buried that evil relationship back on Tech World."
"Think again," Carlos said unhelpfully. "Actually, I can't believe you didn't already know, Kiwi. You need to get online more. There are chat line reports and even a few blurry snaps taken by suit cameras."
"What?"
I demanded.
"Of all the dirty, underhanded—"
"Luckily, they aren't underhanded," Carlos said, showing me his tapper. "At least you have your clothes on.
Turov's hair looks a little funny in this shot, though, as you two are coming out of her office together. That's a dead giveaway, McGill. Unprofessional.
A blurry shot of me kissing the Imperator was displayed on Carlos's arm. I had no idea who'd taken it. Hell, it might have been a buzzer on the wall, for all I knew.
That's the trouble with pinhead cameras flying around everywhere, I complained.
Kiwi's face pushed between us, and she got a good look.
Damn it, she said. You're a fool, that's all I have to say. You're not going to get anything out of that relationship other than friction with everyone in the Legion.
Ha ha, burst out Carlos. Friction. McGill's all over that.
There's no relationship, Kiwi, I said, but that sounded weak even to me. Still, I had to try. We're not seeing each other anymore. It was just a weak moment caught on camera.
Oh, so you admit that you were seeing her? Kiwi asked, shaking her head.
Hey, Carlos said, nudging me. Check this out.
Knowing I shouldn't, I saw him swipe to a brief vid. This one showed me coming out of the Imperator's quarters, not her office. This time, neither of us was entirely dressed, and she had a beverage in her hand.
Shit, I said. Look at it this way, McGill, he said. At least she's smiling.
I grabbed his arm and tapped the delete button while he chuckled. A few moments later, he showed me he had it back again.
What the hell? I demanded. It's on a server somewhere, in a cache, floating on a cloud, whatever. Give it up, McGill. You're famous. The good stuff never dies on the net.
Knowing he was right, I sat glumly for the rest of the flight. I decided to ignore them. After all, I'd done it, and they couldn't be expected to let it go. Sometimes there were things that superseded the chain of command. I couldn't squelch their fun without turning into a raging dick, and they didn't deserve that. So I suffered the ribbing until it died down, then turned to business, giving out tactical assignments.
I don't have to remind you all that this is do or die, I told them when I had their full attention again. We're sitting in the last lifter. Our Legion is over 90% dead. The enemy strength is unknown, but it was enough to kill everyone aboard when they invaded.
They began to sober up as they listened to my words.
The odds were bleak. Legionnaires, particularly those who had the misfortune to sign up with Legion Varus, aren't strangers to death. But that didn't mean we liked dying.